Busy with a short series, number two in the series today. It's life-changing, as we speak about life-changing prayer. If you missed last week, you can go watch online, and maybe you should, because it's going to connect with the one today. I did introduce you to a book last week, and I want to reintroduce you to that same book again this week. It is a life-changing book. Go buy it. If there's one book you buy, go buy this little book. Going to cost you about $20. It's called Draw the Circle, the 40-Day Prayer Challenge by Mark Batterson. It'll be online, and we'll put it on the website so you can see it there. We'll put a link to where you can buy it as well. It's 40 days, just taking 5 minutes of your day to read a piece and then pray on that. I have enjoyed every moment reading this book. It is beautiful. It will change your life if you do what it says every day, praying and how you pray to God. So go spend $20 on yourself. It's a really, really good investment. And if you know a good friend that you'd like to bless, go bless their life with this little book. I promise you, yeah, it is just beautiful. We can't do this, Lord, without you and without your help and your spirit. So thank you. Thank you for what you do. We're excited about that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you, if you had the opportunity and you knew that you could pray a prayer over someone's life that would change their life, that would bring a new power, a new strength, a new vigor into their life, how many of you would want to pray a prayer like that? You don't even have to put up your hands, because I know they're all going to go up. Here's the thing. We're going to have that prayer prayed over our lives today in a moment. And Paul gives us that prayer so that we can go pray that over other people's lives as well. So Ruby Brown, come join me up here. While Ruby comes up, let me tell you a little story about commitment. I asked Ruby if she would do the scripture reading for us today. She said, yes, I'll gladly do that. And Ruby also applied for a summer job. And she got a call this week and said, your job starts on Sunday. See you Sunday morning. Ruby said, no. I have a commitment at my church first. I have to go do the scripture reading. That's what you call commitment. And then, of course, she works for Christian people. And they said, that's perfectly cool, Ruby. Go do that first. So Ruby's going to do, you'll check where it's good for you, Ruby. Ruby's going to do the scripture reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. It'll be on the screen as well. Is that good for you, Ruby?
Yeah.
Thank you.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Ruby, thank you so much. Can we say thank you? We've done a lot of that this morning. I hope you received that. And go home this afternoon. There's your little practical prayer thing. Go home this afternoon and read that prayer for yourself again and accept it in your own life. God's prayer from Paul for you, for me, for strength to live in the power of the Lord. Verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So that, and when Paul says so that, we always have to ask the question, so what? So what? After the so that. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So for a moment, when you read this, I pray that through His Spirit, God will give you the strength that you allow Christ to dwell in your hearts. You kind of think, but Paul, were you not writing to Christians in Ephesus? Hadn't they already accepted Jesus? So wouldn't Christ already be dwelling in their hearts? Here's the thing. It's always a here's the thing with me. Here's the thing. When Paul writes that, we need to listen and look carefully. He is not talking just about saying, okay, Jesus, good. You can come in and come have a look and hang around with me now and then. What Paul is talking about, he says, is allowing Christ to come into your life and to change it completely. To come into your life and to do a reno job. To renovate your life. To come into your life and to remodel your life according to, remember last week, the vision that God has for your life and for my life. Let me try and explain it this way. So, when you bought your house or your apartment, so you walk in, you look around, and you think, paint might have worked for the folks who lived here, but it's not me. I'm going to change the paint so it reflects who I am. Just going to make it a little more colorful. And then you look around, you think, yeah, it's an older house, so it has a lot more walls. We don't need all these walls. Let's renovate that. Let's get rid of the walls and make it an open concept. And it's nice, and everyone can see each other. And you walk into the kitchen, you think, a little dark, maybe a skylight. And maybe we'll remodel a little bit and put new appliances. And then you walk to the basement and you think, oh, a lot of junk down there. We'll take care of that later. But when you've done that and you've walked through, what do? You move in, right? And you start making this place look like the vision that you had for that place. That's what Paul is talking about. He says, allow Jesus to come into your life and to do what He wants to do and what He needs to do so that you can become who you could be and who you should be. Maybe. Maybe you got some things in your life that you do, some habits, some desires that don't quite match up with what God has in store for you. He's going to walk in and He's going to paint those walls until they're beautiful and they look exactly like He wants them to look. Maybe there are some walls in your life that have happened over time, walls of bitterness, walls of hurt, walls of struggle, walls of pain. And they make the house a little boxy. He's going to come in and He's going to minister to all of those walls. Slowly but surely He's going to take them down and create this beautiful openness in your life that is loving and kind and gracious and full of Him. Maybe there are some dark places in your own heart that you hide away, that you don't talk about. He's going to come in, He's going to say, might need a little skylight. And He'll bring His skylight into your life. John says, the light came into the darkness and the darkness tried to overwhelm it, but it couldn't. He's going to bring that light into your life. And boy, that kitchen of your life is going to be so beautiful. And He's going to walk to the basement too. And He's going to take you down into that basement and you're going to have a look at that junk. And He's going to help you get rid of all of that junk because He's really good at that. See, that's what Paul prays for. Not just that I allow Him now and then, but that I say, this is you. Come on in. Come and do what you need to do. It's not always easy. Those of you who have done a renovation, you know. It tests your relationship. It's messy. Sometimes takes a little longer than you thought. Paul says, that's why I pray for you that you may have the strength through the Holy Spirit to open your life and say, come on in, Jesus. You come do what you do the best, and you come and make this your forever home. Can you hear that? His forever home. His home. The problem is, often we'll treat Jesus like someone who just rents from me. And I'll say, you can come on in, but you don't touch those walls. I like the paint. You can't move any of the walls. Not going to happen. Leave my kitchen alone. Leave my junk alone. But you can stay. No, no, no. He says, I want to move in. And I want to make this mine, my home. And I'm going to make it the kind of home that is so amazing that you won't know yourself. And I can smile and I can glorify myself through you. Can I pray that prayer for you? Are you strong enough to give it up and say, Jesus, I need you. Come fix it up. It's not just a renovation. He's going to come in and he's going to stay and he's going to live. And your life's going to be changed forever. And he'll continue to do that. Because now and then we'll put the walls up again. And he'll say, no, wall doesn't fit there. Let's open it up. Those little dark places, I sometimes want to hide them away. And he's going to say, give me the key. Give me the key. Let me open it. Let me make it beautiful. I pray that you will have the strength through the Spirit of God so that Christ may dwell. Take up habitation in your life through faith. Maybe you haven't done that. Maybe you want to. There's going to be a moment this morning that you can do that. After the service, Alexander said, there's going to be a group here that you can come pray with. You need to pray with someone and say, can you just pray with me for that strength to open my heart? It's going to be a moment to do that. Paul goes on, because there's a purpose for all of this. And I can't wait for this, because I think this is one of the most beautiful, powerful texts in the whole Word of the Lord. Listen to verse 18 again, and listen for the so that. It's just a that here, but there should be a so. Verse 18, I pray that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. This love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Paul says, I pray that you will understand God's limitless love for you. Can we stop there for 1 second? When God looks at you, he doesn't say, well, I'm going to love you a little bit because this is okay in your life and that's not okay, so I'm going to love you for that. God looks at you and he says, Lorna, I just love you. And I love you without boundaries. It's just yours. But he says, I pray that you will know that. Remember what I said about no last week? It's not the head thing. It's the intimate, relational, firsthand knowledge. I pray that you will have such an intimate relationship with Christ, that you will be overwhelmed with his love, because here's what will happen. So that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Stop and think about what I've just said. When you open your life and Christ comes in, he fills you with the fullness of God. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's forgiveness, God's kindness, God's graciousness. All of that is yours. He fills you with that. He doesn't say, have a little taste. He just fills you with all of that fullness. Think about that. God lives in you in all of his fullness. What is there that can come against you that you can't stand against? What is there that you can pray for that God will not hear? What is there that you cannot do in this world if God's fullness, the power of God, has come and taken up habitation in your life because you opened it up and you said, you own it. You make it what is yours. Because this is what will happen. Verse 20, and I'm going to read this from the New Century Version because it's short, but it's beautiful. It says, with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. When God's power comes into us, God through us can do much, much more than you and I can ever imagine. See what Paul did. He says, I pray for you that you will open your life so God can make it what God wants it to be. When you've done this, what will happen to you? You will experience this amazing, limitless love of God. And then he will fill you with his fullness, becomes a power in you. A powerful, powerful person through God's grace. And when God puts his power in you, there is nothing, nothing that can stop this power because it changes lives. And I'm not going to tell you about that. And this is not a story I'm telling you. This is the holy truth. There is power in prayer. Maeve, come tell us about the power of prayer. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Hello, everyone. I am so excited to be here, maybe even a little bit nervous, but I'm just so happy and so honored that I could come up here and share with all of you a story. So recently, I came back from a missions trip in Africa with an organization called YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. And so I was in Africa, Kenya, and Africa, Uganda, where I experienced massive amounts of God's love and grew so much more intimate in my relationship with him. And I got the opportunity to do prison ministry, hospital ministry, children ministry, and work alongside so many wonderful coworkers and partners. And we even got to stay at some refugee camps, which was all such a blessing in disguise at the time, really. But unfortunately, I got sick while I was away, and I got typhoid fever, and I was actually hospitalized in Africa. So as many of you can imagine, that was pretty scary, and my parents wanted me to come home. However, I was so close to being finished my missions trip, and I knew deep down in my heart that the Lord had placed me here in Africa for a reason. And so because I had typhoid, I wasn't able to go with the rest of my team to a refugee camp at the time. So I actually stayed back with another team in Arua, Uganda, where we were. And during this time, I witnessed the moving of the Holy Spirit so evidently through the power of prayer, as Aubrey's speaking about. And this was about 2 weeks into me having typhoid, and I was just like, God, why am I so sick? Why did I have to get sick? I'm here for you. I'm here to work for you. I want to be here and serve you in ministry. And I was just in bed all the time, and I was so confused. But I met the Lord in such an amazing way. I was sitting on a soccer bench outside, and a young gentleman walked up to me. He just came right up, which they don't usually do, and he started talking to me. And I kind of just looked up, and his eye looked like he was in so much pain. He must have been hurting so much, and he started talking to me, and he said, "My parents are both dead, and I am all alone. I got in an accident with my friend, and he stabbed me in the eye with a knife." And just in that moment, my heart broke for him because I could not even imagine what it's like to have nothing, have no family, and be in incredible pain. And so he was talking to me, and he's like, "I'm just so hopeless." And he asked me to help him with treatment, and we're not allowed to give out any sorts of money. But I just felt this urging in my heart that I just had to share with him about Jesus and who he is. And so I asked him, I said, "Do you know who Jesus is?" And he said, "Well, I've heard of him, but I don't really know about him." And so I asked him, I said, "Can I please share with you a story of Jesus?" And so I got to share the gospel with him, which was just so amazing. And he was really interested and intrigued in what I had to say. And I told him, I said, "I believe in Jesus Christ. And I said, I believe that he has the ultimate power to heal you and heal your eye." And he kind of looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, "Okay." And so I laid my hands on him and I started praying. And I just prayed with all my heart. I said, "Lord, heal him from the inside out." I said, "Anywhere that where the enemy has squeezed in, that you would remove him, because the enemy just crumbles before his feet," right? And I just prayed that in this hopeless situation he was in, that the Lord would give him peace and hope. And so I said amen. And I remember him looking up at me, and he was in complete shock. And his mouth was open. And he was like, "I have no more pain on my eye. It's completely gone. It's not hurting at all." And I, in this moment, I'm like, "Oh my goodness, the Lord is so good." And I remembered reading, I'm just going to quickly pull it up, in Matthew 18:20, just a little bit before I was reading, and it says, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." And I just kind of thought, oh my goodness, I need to get more people to pray. We need to pray again, because even Jesus had to pray twice. And so I got all my friends near me, and I said, "We just need to keep praying healing over him." And it's just a reminder that when two or more people come together battling in prayer, it's really powerful. And so we came together and we just continued praying for him, and we said amen again. And I really, really did feel the Holy Spirit so evidently and so powerfully in that moment. And he looked up and he was just crying and he was bawling his eyes out because he could see through his eye that was once he could not see through. And it's just something so beautiful to truly see the way that the Lord works in other people's lives. And I know that in that moment, my faith grew immensely. And just seeing the way, like I said, that he works through other people really encourages us. And so I just want everyone here to know just that the Lord works through us, like Aubrey said, in powerful and mighty ways, because he lives inside of us. And we've all chosen that. And so God used me in a moment where I was so weak. I was sick. I had typhoid. And I was weak, and there's no way I ever felt like I could ever be the person that he would choose to pray over someone, but he did. And that, I feel to this day, gives me so much, just encourages me and lets me know that maybe this was the reason that I wasn't supposed to go to the refugee camp with my team, because I was supposed to stay and be here for this man. And so he gave his life to Jesus, which is so amazing to see. And I really just want everyone to know, we just need to come together and we just need to pray in faith, knowing and trusting in the Lord that he has the ultimate power to heal, to save, and to perform miracles. And Yeah, like I said, he can use anyone. He can use each and every one of you. And so I just really want to leave us. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, thank you. I just want to leave you guys with this scripture. I was reading it, and I just thought it really resonated with this story and just how when prayer is offered in faith, it's such a mighty prayer. But it's James 5, 13 to 16. And it says, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." So I just wanted to say thank you so much for all being open to listening to this story. And I actually wanted to just take this time and say thank you so much for each and every one of you who were praying for me when I was on my missions trip and when I got sick. It means so much to me to know that you guys were all battling for me in prayer. And for any of you who are wondering, I actually recently went to the doctors and I am completely free of the bacteria of typhoid. And they actually told me that it would be in my body for a couple months. So I'm praising the Lord because I truly know that he healed me. So thank you so much for this opportunity to speak.
There's a tissue. Put that verse back up again, please, Ted. With God's power, where are you? Working within us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. If we do it in our own power, that's what we get. But if we pray big prayers to a big God, it is powerful. I told you, we're not just going to talk about prayer. You're going to see it. What a moment. What a moment to experience that. And here's the amazing thing. It's not that all of us run to Maeve now and say, "Lay hands on us, Maeve, because you've got this gift of healing." No. Because Paul already said that. Sometimes I could do something in the Spirit of the Lord, but the next time I couldn't, because God gives in the moments what God needs. And that's why we need to open it up so that the fullness of God can come in and the fullness of God can be at work when God needs us and calls us even in our weakest moments. May God strengthen you through His Spirit, that He may dwell in your hearts through faith. May you know His love, His limitless love, that brings the fullness of God into you. May you be this amazing vessel that is filled, that God's power can work through you. Amen.